Psalm 119 verse 26. I have declared my ways and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. I was wanting to share a few thrilling things that actually transform my relationship with God, and it keeps regularly happening. And I didn't know how to share, right? We are not used to sharing our personal witnesses, personal experiences and all that. And our brother Ivan asked me a question. How can I have a dynamic, prayerful life? And how can I enjoy my daily worship? Because most times, you know, when I go to prayer, my words seem to be repetitive without any passion or any heart in them, right? This question kind of helped me to find a means to vent out those things that I was experiencing personally. And so I started a blog series with the topic Transforming a Prayer Life. Now if you go to our website and under FAQ, we started a new section called FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions. And you will find this question and an answer to that. You know, the first part of the answer is, how can, you know, God taught the Old Testament people in the book of Leviticus how to approach God by the five sacrifices. And the reason I say that now is today's verse is another wonderful truth that teaches us how to transform our prayer life. If your prayer life is dull, if your prayer life is meaningless, right? I think you will find very important insights and truths in this verse. Let's look at two things in this verse. Verse 26. The first heading is the secret of David's relationship with God. Okay? We know David had a very dynamic relationship with God. One of the saints who's called a man after God's own heart. And, you know, we want to know all the secrets of his relationship with God. And we find one of the main secrets here. And then we will look at two fruits of that kind of relationship. Okay, the secret of David's relationship with God and then the two fruits flowing from that relationship. What is the secret of David's relationship with God? I think it's mentioned in the verse, I have declared my ways. And the two fruits that flow out of that relationship, you answered me. I think the right translation is you heard me, teach me your statutes. Okay? Let me, at the outside, very clearly say, when we come to God like this, you know, and we're going to look at that, you will have a transforming encounter with the living God in your prayer life. And that encounter will always lead to an eager desire to learn God's truth. Okay, I in fact thought for a long time to come up with that phrase. Let me say that again. When we come to God like this, you will have a transforming encounter with the living God in your prayer life. And that encounter always leads to eager desire to learn God's truth more. Okay? I'm going to prove that in this verse. Firstly, let's look at the secret. Very simple, to state it very simply, the profound secret of a transforming relationship with God is being utterly, fully honest and open with God. Notice verse 26, what he's saying. I have declared my ways. What does it mean, I have declared? Other translations, you know, have I have confessed my ways, right? So let's look at two questions on this. You know, what does it mean, declared? And what does my ways mean, right? Those are two things that David is saying. Declared. If you see other translations, there are translations which says, I have confessed all I have done. Right? Means I am in a habit of regularly, distinctively, without any kind of pretense or hiding, any kind of hypocrisy, I have openly told you everything that is in my mind and heart. I have laid open the state of my heart and my life to you. An honest, open communication with the God. With God. This is the secret, people. Very simple. Right? Just like a sick patient who will want to, when he is ailing, when he is suffering, want to go to a physician and openly and honestly say everything, even the things that doctor wouldn't ask, right? We want to say everything, we want to share everything, what we feel. You know, so that's how we should deal with God. That's the secret. Right? When we go to God, you want to constantly experience His grace and mercy. You'll have to be utterly honest and open with God. You need to learn to be authentic. You need to learn to be original. You need to learn to be sincere. Remove any kind of masks that you have without any kind of pretense or deception. Open your heart fully to the Lord. You need to tell Him not only your needs, you need to tell Him how you feel in your heart, and you know, what are the good things, what are the evil things that you find in yourself and all your affairs, right? Your conflicts, your struggles, your distresses, your hopes. To be open with God, that is what declaring means, okay? I will tell you, that's not easy. You may say, I'm doing that, Pastor. No, I'll tell you, that's not easy. I think the one of the first profound impact of sin and depravity created in humans is to remove this ability. You don't have this. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned, what did Adam do? He went and hid himself, right? When God came into that garden, instead of beating his breast and coming to his Creator and declaring all his ways, what he has done, and pleading his mercy, He went and hid. That's what a sin, that's what depravity did to Adam. And how darkened his mind was to think that he can hide behind a tree and, you know, hide from an omniscient eye. Now God takes the initiative and calls him and says, Adam, where are you? Where have you gone? Where have you fallen? And how far have you gone? Right? I feel every morning God comes to us full of grace, calling us, Murli, where are you? Right? He comes to us every, where are you? Where have you fallen? What is hurting you? But instead of coming openly to Him and declaring and confessing, we dodge with God just like Adam. We try to hide ourselves just like Adam. And you know what he says? I heard your voice in heaven, in the garden. And I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Is that the reason? You heard the God's voice and you know you are naked. And what is your way? What have you done, Adam? Why don't you declare your ways? No, he didn't. He was trying to dodge and hide the real problem. Do you see that? At last, God himself wanted to bring out the confession somehow from his mouth so that God can show mercy. It's the rule of his kingdom. Unless we come and plead and acknowledge our transgressions, right? You know, God cannot show mercy. And God himself points his ways, right? He says, Adam, what have you done? You are in this condition. Isn't this because you have eaten from the tree which I have commanded you? And God himself confesses on his behalf, right? It doesn't come from Adam's mouth. And you know, I told you not to eat. Have you eaten that tree? At least now. Now you should have confessed, right? But you know, you feel this shy and this guilt and this strangeness in my presence because you have sinned, Adam. At least now you should probably, you know, come openly and declare. No, you know what he says? He again dodges. And he shifts the blame. He says, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and the fruit of the tree and I ate it. So Lord, you know, this is the state not only of Adam, the state of every child of Adam. We can see that in Cain, right? His sacrifice was not accepted and he was angry and he was trying to, you know, his face was dull. God says, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? Why are you sad? Isn't it interesting that God cares about our countenance, our face, right? He wants us to be happy. And why are you sad? You know, if you do well, you will be accepted. Cain. And then he kills his brother and then God comes and asks, what have you done? What is this fellow? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? You see, the depraved mind works like this. You and I are affected profoundly with this. And it's really not very easy to come to God openly. No, that's, you know, in Christ, you know, that's the way of appointed, divinely appointed for us. Through Christ we can. So David says, I've declared my ways. what does he mean by my ways? So we've seen what is declared means. What does you mean? It means my ways, right? If you search the Bible, I think my ways mainly stands for three things, right? My ways basically means my plans, my activities, my day activities, my responsibilities in house and all the spheres of my life. It includes everything, right? I've declared my ways as an act of faith, as a dependence. You know, we need to declare to God. We need to commit everything to God for His direction, providential direction, and this consulting with Him. Right? And when we acknowledge, you know, by this we acknowledge God's sovereignty in His providence and His dominion and His sovereignty over all the acts. And you have to tell Him first, right? And we have a great promise in Proverbs 3:16, in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. You see a wonderful promise here. If we acknowledge to God and declare our ways, He directs our ways by giving us counsel. He will consult us. And we can see this in David's history. You know, in Tamil group, we've gone through David's history over the years in very detail. So they're very familiar. David was just like, you know, you and me, doing whatever he felt like. And God had to discipline him for over many years through the persecution of Saul. And when the man became matured and believer, you know what he learned? He kept asking God for everything. 2 Samuel onwards, you see his ascension to the throne. And you know how it all started? It all started by simple question. God, shall I do it? Shall I go to Hebron? Shall I go to Judah? Shall you give me these cities? Shall I do this? Shall I not do this? You know? And so we should declare all our plans and activities to God. But you know, Pastor, doesn't God know all our ways? Why should I tell Him? Doesn't He know? Yes. This declaration is not necessary for God. He knows. He knows everything even before we think. But this declaration is very, very essential for us. Now, more than anything, this declaration actually makes us God conscious in all our ways. Do you want God consciousness in all your ways? Declare everything to God. Tell every activity of your life. You know, when you wake up and today this is your plan and this is what you're going to do. These are the tasks that you have to fulfill. Tell everything to God. It increases our dependence on Him and brings His counsel and blessing in all our ways. Okay, that's the first way Bible uses my ways. The second way, it also includes all our weaknesses and struggles and distresses and sorrows in life. Right? Just like we would share with a friend our burdens, we need to share everything to God in prayer. Right? Everything that makes us anxious. You know, we need to openly lay what troubles us, what brings fear into our hearts, what creates sorrow, the feelings, you know, we need to bring it before Him. The Hebrews chapter 10:19, you know, when it talks about a high priest, it encourages, let us come with boldness, not with irreverence, you know. This boldness talks about a liberty of speech, a liberty to share anything with freedom of speech, right? You can share your whole state, how you feel. You know, where are you weak so that you can seek strength? What makes you sad? And so that, you know, all our doubts and all our wants, all our griefs, that's what it means. And even as believers, we can try to dodge here. Like I kind of remember Moses. First of all, Moses was scared to go to Egypt because he knows if he goes, he will die. Okay, that was his fear. And when God comes and tells him that you should go, do you see that? He's not declaring honestly his problem. But he kept dodging with God with all kinds of, oh no, I'm slow of speech. No, I'm a stammerer. No, they will not believe. And you know, God directly addresses his problem and says, arise Moses, go to Egypt because the men who sought your life are dead. Right? That's his problem. You know, he was scared of that, but he was using all, that's what you and I do. You don't openly share what ails us, right? We are used to putting masks, and even in prayer we do that. And thirdly, my ways, I think, is meant for, it's a contrast to God's ways, right? It includes our temptations, our sins, and our disobedience. Bible contrasts my ways, like Jeremiah, right? My ways are not your ways. And my ways to God's ways, showing that our ways are sinful. God has His ways, and we have our ways. Sins. They are properly our ways, right? So we have to confess our sin with brokenness and contrite of heart. Not only our plans, not only what sorrow gives us, sorrows and distress, but our sins. We already saw that, you know, how this ability is impacted because of the original sin and the depravity. With the deceptive heart and natural pride and self-love, you know, we don't want to do that because it shames us, right? We want to come with, you know, with our collars lifted up to God, and we don't want to come with a broken and contrite heart. And it's because of our carnal love for carnal ease and, you know, laziness. We hate to submit to such kind of trouble of heart, right? We want to keep it a superficial thing. And David says, I will declare all my ways, you know, because the guilt makes us shy in God's presence. And somebody said, sin works a strangeness in God's presence. And that's why Adam couldn't stand God's presence. He went and hid. And that's what sin does to us. And what is the remedy? We have to come openly telling him what we have done. Beating our breasts sometimes, right? Adam's trait is in our blood. We try to hide our sins and guilt before God. And we're kind of unconsciously competent about that. We don't even know that we are doing that. And David brought himself to a resolution in his life. In Psalm 32:5, he says, after much struggling, he says, I will confess my sins. And he forced himself to do against his flesh. Right? So this is a resolution. We have to declare. Okay, so that's what I will declare my ways mean. I hope so far an explanation for that. Let's look at what happens. What are the fruits when we approach God with an open, honest heart? Letting him know all our plans, all our activities. Letting him know all that we feel. All our pains, all our burdens, all that gives us sorrow, our mood and everything. And letting him know openly what we did. The guilt that we feel and particularly confessing a particular sins. That's what declaring, I will declare my ways mean. When we do that, there are two fruits that flow out of us, right? When we come to God like this, I said, you will have a transforming encounter with the living God in your prayer life. And that encounter will always lead to an eager desire to learn God's truth. Okay, so we've seen how to come to God, and let's look at a transforming encounter with living God. Notice verse 26. I have declared my ways. Okay, David, what happened? Look at the first fruit. A transforming encounter with God. You answered me. I think the right translation is, you heard me. Oh, how empty and useless our prayers are sometimes. We wonder whether God hears our prayers. Are we just talking in the air, right? I think just because we lack this open declaring of our ways to God. When we come to God like this, we, you know, that psalmist has said, when I came to God declaring my ways, I found an audience with God. I could sense that God is hearing my prayer. How wonderful is that? Now, it doesn't mean that all that we ask, you know, David has received. All the problems outwardly will be solved. I'm not saying that. I think we will have a sense when we come openly, honestly, when we come like this, we will have a sense that God is indeed hearing us. God, you heard me. How does God hear our prayers? There are two ways, you know, God hears our prayers, right? One is inwardly by the Spirit, right? And then outwardly in providence. So important to understand this. Let me just briefly explain this. How does answer to prayers come? Firstly, there is an inward answer that comes to us by the Spirit, right? Such open prayer, you know, when we come to God, there is a transforming encounter. What do I mean by that? Even before God answers anything outwardly in the providence, this kind of prayer creates an impression, a persuasion of the confidence upon our hearts that, and it brings a quietness in our mind, our prayer is accepted before God. Right? And God is hearing our prayers. There is an impression that comes upon our hearts that, you know, that God, our prayer is accepted. See, there is a difference between God hearing our prayer, right, and actually answering that in providence. 1 John 5:14 says, this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God hears our prayer, gives an audience to our prayer, and it is a distinct thing from the actual answer given in the providence, right? Therefore, as soon as we pray and when we honestly approach God like this through Christ, Holy Spirit creates an impression in our hearts that we are being heard. And the soul begins to experience a quietness, a calmness. It experiences the immediate mercy of relief from either sorrow or guilt, and a mind taken off from whatever is troubling us. And there is a grace that we experience to face the next moment of our life in whatever situation we are placed. Though the actual benefit may come later on, it may not be immediately granted, but God, a sense and an impression that God has heard our prayer and we have experienced his mercy and relief, that's a transforming encounter. Have you experienced that? Right? You know, if you've never experienced that, it means that you have never go to God declaring all your ways. Right? We see this regularly in Psalms, right? He starts off the prayer with all kinds of bitter complaints and all kinds of bold groaning. We wonder, how can these guys talk like this so boldly? It's so foreign to us. Huh? We have our pattern, liturgical prayer. We always utter, you know, even though it is, you know, 100 miles from what we feel, right? But this guy opens his heart and pours out his heart, and suddenly halfway, you see him, the man is praising God and thanking God. What changed? Assurance that the prayer has been accepted. The mercy has been, and the mercy is delivered and being experienced. That's what changes. Experiencing immediate mercy. You see the same thing in Anna, right? She didn't immediately get a child, right? She was no more sad. And she went and ate and she was rejoicing. Why? She was given an assurance by the Spirit that God has heard her prayer. Don't you want that? There's nothing like that, people. I think this is the first way God answers our prayer, when we have declared our voice honestly to God. Holy Spirit gives such peace and such assurance that prayer, God has heard your prayer. And then the heart looks for answer, right? And what way it will come, and in the providence and with the quietness, and looks for the answer, right? And the second way God answers our prayers is through providence, right? We know that. God may in his time answer just according to what we have asked, but he may, you know, God most of the times, you know, he always, you know, doesn't answer in the same way we asked. He answers in the best and the most better way than we ask, right? He's beyond all that we ask, and that's the God that we have. He gives us more beyond what we ask and imagine. Sometimes we may ask something and God may answer it in a much, much higher way, right? In a more spiritual way. This answer may not be exactly the kind of answer we asked, but it may have higher value, right? It may do more good than the way that we have asked. Probably we would have asked for some deliverance and from some problem, right? God could probably give us more patience and more grace. Just like Paul, he went and asked God, remove this thorn in the flesh. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. In his infinite wisdom, God does not always answer according to a narrow view and self-love, filled with all kinds of self-love and a narrow view about only thinking about only this life and external comforts. Yeah, God, but his answer was always the best and good and most profitable, right? Sometimes he may deny. That doesn't mean he will deny the end, right? Sometimes he answers according to his wisdom. We've always seen that. We may ask for happiness, right? And we may think this is what God will make me happy, right? But God may not give what we ask, but he may give that happiness, right? More beyond that we ask, right? The end could be met, maybe not through that means. We may pray for a victory. I was talking to one brother, okay, he was talking about telling me that, Pastor, I have this besetting lust, besetting sin that always bothers me, and I prayed to God to help me to kill this sin, God never has never, I've never felt an answer for that. Why? God may deny a degree of grace in that. I was telling him, and he was very real for him, I was telling him, maybe God is trying to mortify a greater sin in your heart. Most of the times in these cases, it is the pride in the heart which kind of hinders us to guard our hearts and, you know, be very careless and then not use the means of grace to guard our hearts to prayer and reading and depending on God to overcome this besetting sin. Right? And we just want God to take away this lust that is so much troubling us, but we will not guard our hearts, we will not use the means of grace to come to Him and depend on Him to help us to overcome this besetting sin. And so, you know, God may not answer that particular problem and that sin may trouble you so that you can learn to depend on Him. Yet we still have the end, right? You use the means and then grow in God so that you can overcome that besetting sin. And in a God-glorifying way, not in a, you know, proud way where, oh, you prayed and God, you're now living more holy. No, that's not how God answers, right? So he may give us assurance that prayer answered immediately by Spirit, and sometimes in the providence he may delay, right? And sometimes we may wonder, why is God not answering my prayer? I think most of the time he delays our answers to increase our faith, our patience, and to bring us closer to Him. Right? A great need in Christian life is to grow in assurance. We may not see that as an important thing. I say in the path of Christian life, I always say there is a graduation stage. Right? When we grow, you know, when we start the faith life, it is the first standard. We have to graduate second, third, and reach a stage of graduation. That is called a stage of assurance in faith. Right? And that's what God is intending us. Not just temporary, solving these temporary situations, right? Just like the woman in Canaan woman, she came and she wanted an immediate deliverance. He did not listen to her. In fact, when he broke the silence, his speech was more discouraging than his silence, right? He said, you know, we can't give children's bread to the dogs. And the woman, in fact, turned that rebuke into an encouragement. And she said, even the dogs eat the crumbs, Lord, that fall from the children's table. And then he can't hold himself, right? He said, oh, woman, great is your faith. May it done to you as you will, right? So that kind of assurance stage, that's an assurance stage. We may be praying to God and he may be seemingly silent, and sometimes he may seem to work against what we have asked, and it may seem like rebuking us. Doesn't he care for his sheep? And when we wrestle with all these struggles and discouragements and temptations, and we reach a stage continuing in faith, a stage of assurance where we can say, oh, great is your faith. And then we receive our answers, right? That's the thing that God expects, and he's maturing us in faith. And, you know, such encounter is always transforming. So, the secret of David's relationship, open, honest communication with God. Not hiding anything, regularly sharing everything with God. That kind of relationship, that kind of approach with God always brings a transforming encounter with God. Right? And then that encounter always leads to a greater desire to learn God's truth. Look at the verse. When David declared his ways and experienced God's answer, he says, you have answered me. It kindles a fresher desire. A renewed desire. Teach me thy statutes. Oh, you struggle with a poor appetite for God's word? You see the cause for many times, the poor desire to read God's word, learn God's word, is the poor prayer life. Nothing creates desire to know and obey God than to experience God's mercy and his answer in prayer. Right? This is what creates, and because there are two things that create this desire. First, the sense of sin. When I have declared my ways, my sins to God with brokenness and bitterness of my heart, experiencing, knowing the evil of sin, and he has answered me, he has forgiven me, he has given me a calm of conscience, then there is a desire that gets created to learn and walk in his ways. Why should I again continue to live in my own ways? Which has led to this kind of shame and horror. I want to learn his ways. I want to learn his attitudes. If God has shown me mercy, my desire is to walk worthy of that mercy. God has heard me, so what then? Teach me thy statutes. God has given me an inner peace as an answer to prayer. And the way to continue to abide in that peace, right, is to continue to obey Him. Learn His truth and obey Him. And the Lord's Prayer, forgive our sins. Then what then? We go and continue again in the same sins? No, lead us not into temptation, right? Because God has forgiven us sins, so we should not sin again. So that's the sense of sin that kind of creates this desire to learn God's truth. There is a sense of gratitude also, right? Every answer of grace gives us an obligation upon us that we should not offend God again, such a merciful God. Right? Should we, think Ezra says in Ezra 9:13, should we after such deliverance and mercy break your commandment again? That's his response, right? After such mercy God has shown me, can I, you know, when we experience this kind of encounter, when we experience this kind of forgiveness and know that God has accepted our prayer and answered our prayer and relieved our guilt, you know, we want to express our gratitude. How do we express our gratitude? We want to learn His ways. Right? I don't want to relapse again. Just like the woman who loved much, right, who was forgiven much. She loved much because grace always, you know, doesn't give a license, right? It melts our heart. And because we've received so much of mercy, we want to obey. Right? And notice, unless God teaches this truth by Holy Spirit, right, we cannot walk in them. David knew all the Bible. Right, in the Old Testament, yet regularly you see his prayer, Lord, show me your ways, teach me your statutes. Unless God teaches us his paths, we will not be able to walk, escape the paths of sin and walk in his truth. Okay, brethren, that's the explanation. I think the secret of David's relationship, you see, and I've declared your ways. And the two fruits flowing from that relationship, right? You heard me. So as a result of that, teach me your statutes. Teach me your statutes. So, as an application, I want to encourage you, declare all your ways in your prayer life. You see why the scope of our prayer is so narrow? Sometimes we can't even find matters to pray for 3 or 5 minutes. Do you struggle with that? You struggle with that, you know, that's not what prayer is meant to be. Everything to God in prayer. That's why I repeated that song today. That is something we have to probably repeat every week. We have to be told, take everything to God in prayer. The reason you are discouraged, the reason every time you don't experience God's encounter, God's presence, right? It's because you are not carrying this. Have you taken this to God in prayer? Ask Him, right, generally to bless your day when you wake up and pray for all your needs, all that you plan to do, all that you have, that you can see, and ask Him. Right, I will declare my ways to you, my plans, my sorrows, my sins, all that goes on in my mind, all that I feel in my heart, all that my hands will find to do, I will declare it to you. Oh, how we should learn. Unless we learn this with David, right, and openly to share this, you know, we will not experience His mercy, His pardon and His peace. Never know what transforming prayer life means, because Scripture clearly says, he that hides his sin shall not prosper, but he who confesses it and forsakes it shall find mercy. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, everything let your request be known to God. For we do not have a high priest who cannot be touched with our weakness. So because we don't have a high priest like that, let us then approach the throne of God, grace with confidence, with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. If God is so ready, right, let's not waste this throne of grace, this privilege. What a privilege, right? When you don't feel like praying, when you don't feel the Holy Spirit influences, when you don't feel His energy, joy, go to God and tell Him what you feel. Right? Let us openly declare our ways, our condition, our griefs and sorrow to God. And reveal your state to Him. Secondly, when you go like this, right, David realized God's answer immediately. When we come to God in prayer like this, let's not throw our prayers as arrows without a target, like children do, you know, like this. No, no, no. Each of our prayers should have the target of God, and we should observe, expect and answer, sometimes even an immediate answer of confirmation. Isn't it? Right? What comes in upon every prayer that we raise? Do you go to God like that? In every address you make to God, put yourself in a posture of expectation. Lord, this is the pain I feel, and I pray. And for a moment, expect something from God. I'm not asking you to get into mysticism, but this is biblical, right? You know, Psalm 5:3 says, I will pray and look up. Psalm 85:8, I will hear what God will speak. For he will speak peace unto my soul. See what, you know, God speaks when you've been praying and calling upon him. Our prayers, otherwise our prayers are just formality. You know, it's just talking in the air. No, we have a target, we have an object. We address our prayers to God and expect a relief and an answer from him. You know, expect, you know, when you share something from your heart, observe the effect that it has by sharing in your heart. Call upon me in the time of trouble and I will deliver you, and thou shalt glorify me. Every answer to prayer brings glory to God. If you don't observe his answer, you know, he loses all the glory, right? Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Why should we watch? We should watch. What happens to our prayers? The effect of our prayer in our hearts, right? And watch for God's answer. You know, you may, like David, you know, you may have many psalms, like you went with all the complaints and burdens, and then all of a sudden you're coming out of the prayer closet with praise, right? And somebody said atheism is very, very natural to us, and it's kind of inbred in our hearts, and prayer is a divine means to overcome this tendency, because it persuades us that there is a gracious being. And when, especially in prayer, it removes all that natural unbelief which kind of creates all kinds of doubts about his presence and his being and his promises and his word. And his promises are just not, you know, it's prayer that makes us feel his promises, and his word is not a syllabus and words. You know, it actually speaks to my heart. So I think then, you know, finally the fruit of that, you know, you'll always see that such kind of encounter with God will always motivate you and urge you to learn more of His Word. Isn't that a wonderful lesson for today? Let's pray.